right, come on. Actually, why don't we read this passage of Scripture? Why don't you grab your Bibles? Let's get it to Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, 26. Verse 1 and then go to verse 26.
Okay, I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." And now verse 26. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all of the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'"
Amen. Amen. Well done, Sandy. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are so thankful that you come and breathe on your word, that as we speak your word this morning, as we meditate on it, as we look at it, as we dig into it, Lord, that we, Father, will hear from you, that it would become part of us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, may it be that you would breathe new life, fresh vision, new understanding and revelation into our very spirits, into our very hearts, right here, right now, this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Thanks for all you do. And like I understand that that's our drummer's first time on the stage as well, or both drummers. Well done. Good job, guys. Well done. And I'll see if I can open up my notes. Every day of the week, every moment of the day, you and I are getting some form of information, some form of report. Something is bombarding us. There is information that is coming our way all the time. It doesn't matter where you're at. You get school reports. They even send them out by emails now. I don't know whether you've got children in high school or middle school or whatever. And every week I get an email from the school letting me know where my son is up to or our son is up to. And that's a report that comes our way, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, ugly or whatever. You go to the medical, you've got Instagram or Instasham, whatever it is that you call it. You've got all these things where all this information is bombarding you. I couldn't think of a great title for this message this morning. I thought about it. I mulled over it. I should have rung Kino because he's, you know, the master of really nice names of calling things. But so I'm just calling this message this morning reports. You get reports all the time. You get information bombarding you all the time. The Bible talks about it. The Apostle Paul wrote that we are not to be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Every moment of the day, something is wanting to transform and make you conform into its image, whether it's something from the world or something from this world system, or whether or not you choose to allow the Word of God to transform, not remove, not take away, but to transform your thinking so that you actually end up with a renewed spirit, a whole different way of thinking, and a different way of seeing what's going on in the world. We as believers are not meant to see the world like and our lives like everybody else. We're meant to see from a different perspective. And too often as believers, we look just like everybody else. We sound just like everybody else because we have not allowed His Word to grab a hold of our hearts and to be able to get involved and to be able to get a hold of us to a whole new perspective. So we see through new eyes. We see through heaven's vision and we understand what's really going on. We sang a whole lot of songs this morning. Montre led us and all these, the band led us, and we were singing all these songs about, you know, who God is and what He's all about. And we do that not just because we want to worship God. That's certainly the major emphasis, but we're also doing it because we need to change our view. We need to see from heaven's view. We need to see from a different perspective. If you want to be able to actually achieve what God's plan and purpose is for your life, you and I need to decide to see from heaven's perspective. Does that make sense? So every moment of the day, you've got reports. How many people have got an Instagram account? Oh, look, a few of us got an Instagram accounts. Who does not have an Instagram account? Joe, Monica, what can I say? Joe's one of our elders, I'll teach him later on. We'll get a few people around, but as soon as he gets a computer, he'll do it. He's still using the abacus and various other things and to be able to, you know. Now, this passage that we read is a really important passage because it's a passage about the children of Israel who went out and spied out the land. They had one promise. They had one promise. It's a funny passage because realistically, when you look at it, they had one promise, but they discovered four problems. One promise. The promise was that God had spoken to them and said, "This is the land that I'm going to give you. This is where we're going to go." And I don't know about you, but when you become a Christian, often you think about, okay, when I become a Christian, everything's going to come up rosy. Everything is going to go my way. Everything is going to happen that's just going to be an incredible blessing to my life. But when you become a Christian, you discover that actually sometimes things don't go the way you expected. Sometimes you discover that actually God knows better than you or I. Sometimes you discover that actually what happens in life doesn't always work in the way you expected. But my Bible tells me that all things work together for good. Why? Because I see with a different eyes. I'm transforming my thinking. So in the midst of my situations, all things are working for good for those who love God. And you say, how can that be true? How can that be true? I don't know how it's true. I just know it is true. I just know I've got to get into agreement with what God is saying over my life, and pretty soon my life begins to align up with His plan, His purposes, and everything else that's going on around me begins to line up with what God has for my life. It doesn't always work the way I want, so they had one promise, go into the land. So they sent some spies, 12 of them in fact, 12 of them went into the land to have a look. Most of you know this passage. You should have read it at some point. You probably did it in children's church or something like that. You have this one thing where they go into the land, they spy out the land, they have one promise. The promise is God is going to give you this land. God is going to prosper them. God is going to make a way where there is no way. God is going to give them the incredible inheritance. Just like the promises we have as Christians. God is wanting to come into our life. He wants to give us an inheritance. He wants to give us blessing. He wants to move in our lives. He wants us to find prosperity in that sense of health and His power at work in our life, in our situation, circumstance, turning things around. But the problem is that we have problems. That's a problem. They walked in there with the one problem and they discovered with one promise and they end up with four problems. Listen to what they said. They looked around and they saw huge walled cities. They looked around and they saw giants. Some people suggest there were 7 feet, 8 feet tall at that point. In that genealogy and that thing that was going on, people were very tall in that area. They were giants to them. Problem number three, people were fierce and warlike. It looked like they couldn't make it through. It looked like they were going to be defeated at any moment. Problem number four, the land is mountainous and inhospitable. Do you know, it's interesting, at 3 a.m, your problems seem worse than what they really are. Isn't that true? In the darkest point of your life, often what happens is you're seeing through all the fears, all your past experience, all the knowledge you had. Now, remember, these people had just come out of slavery. These people had just come out of bondage. These people were just being mistreated. And as a group of people, they were coming into the promised land and they couldn't see what was possible. They could only see from their past. And God was looking for them to see for their future, to see through the promise, to see through what was possible for them in this situation and circumstance. So these people, no one denied there were giants in the land. No one's denying that there were walled cities. No one was denying that the people were fierce and warlike. No one was denying that there were mountains in the land and there was difficulties in the land. But what they had was a promise. I don't know what you see when you look at your life. I don't know what you see when you look at your circumstance. You might be looking at all the circumstances and all the negativity and all the things around you, but I want to suggest to you this morning, in fact, I would love you to grab a hold of this morning, that if you will begin to look through the promises of God, it'll change your perspective. 10 spies came back with the total negative report, but two of them came back. Two of them out of the 12 of them came back saying, this is a great land. There are great things in this place. They didn't only see the negative part. They saw the positive. They saw the promise. They saw the opportunity. They didn't just see the difficulties in the land. They saw beyond the difficulties. They saw through the promise. They began to understand that actually no matter what they were facing, no matter what was coming at them, no matter what was ahead of them, they had incredible promises from their God. Well, friend, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel of Jesus. Jesus died on a cross. He rose again so that our sins would be removed, so our sins would be forgiven, so that not that everything would go rosy and everything would go fantastic, that you'd never have any problems, but that when problems come, you'll face them with a different spirit. You'll see them through different eyes. That you'll get a hold of life in a different capacity and you'll begin to see that there's something greater in you than what is in the world. But the only problem is, you've got to get into agreement with that. It's all there. It's all the promises are available. But so often we look at the promises. So often we stand around the promises. But we don't enter into the promises. We don't grab a hold of the promises. So listen, this is how I think we need to take a hold of. If you want to take a hold of the promises, if you want to turn a bad report into a good report, if you want to turn the information that you've got coming into your life that'll begin to work for you, begin to create a blessing for you and begin to turn around what's going on, you've got to do some things to actually do, to take a hold of that and begin to deal with the information you're receiving. So here's a few thoughts I have, and then I've got a summary at the end of three words that'll take these four thoughts that I've got and mash them together that we'll be able to be practical. I love being practical. I think the Word of God is incredibly practical. I think God actually has equipped us so that we can live life to the full and we can take a hold of His Word and apply it in Jesus' name. So here's the first thought I've got. Any information that comes your way, you've got to apply your spirit to it. You've got to, it's made good or bad by the spirit you give it. If you give it a bad spirit, it'll be a bad report. If you give it a good spirit, it'll be a good report. What do I mean by that? You just got to not allow fear to rule your spirit. You've got to take a hold of it with faith. You've got to look at the information that you have and don't deny the information. Years ago, sometimes in church life, people got a little bit hyper-spiritual and they'd get sick and they'd go, oh, I'm not sick. I'm not sick in Jesus' name. I'm not sick. Listen, if you're sick, you're sick. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a bit dumb to be saying, I'm not sick. You are sick. But the promises are that God, by His Spirit, will heal me. That by His stripes, I have been healed. So I speak to my situation. I speak to my sickness. I tell it that it must comply to the Word of the Lord. That's what we do. Listen, you know, in life, everyone's going to die at some point. I know that's not great news. But the good news is that God promises long life. So let's get life in our life rather than misery and gloom. I met so many people, the information comes their way. They get a doctor's report and instantly, oh my God. And so they went from happy, you know, enjoying life. They get a bad report and they're like, now it's okay to be for a moment, but you need to put a spirit into that. You've got to speak into that. You've got to grab a hold of that, because it's either going to drag you down or it can lift you up. You can either be down working your life. Isn't that true? A report is made good or bad by the spirit you give it. You've got to remind yourself of your of the promises of God, what the Bible says. That's why we need to read the Bible. It's hard to grab a hold of the promises of God when you never read the Bible. It's hard